wonder if we might, for a few moments, just consider question, what does this army of the Lord's servants look like? We're all going to leave here and return to our homes and to our circumstances, and it's a good question to ask us. What does this look like? What does it look like when we are following this great captain of salvation of which we're singing? What does it look like when we go to work on Tuesday morning? What does it look like when we return home and there are issues that have to be taken care of at home? What does this army of those who have been reminded that we are in a warfare and we are to be engaged in pulling down strongholds and recognizing and putting to breaking down these strongholds, not through our energy and our strength, but because of what we have been armed with, and through those arms, through God, we can do this kind of work. What does this company look like? And I thought of an illustration from the Old Testament, and it's just kind of, I want to encourage us, because we could go away feeling heavy burdened with the fact that, wow, I'm in a warfare, and I could be overwhelmed with what the intensity of that warfare is, and I can be constantly perhaps burdened by the challenges that we've had even today about guarding our minds. But I think there's a great illustration in the book of 1 Kings of what happens and what it looks like when we have those who are under the direction of this great captain of salvation. 1 Kings chapter 10. Beginning to read verse 1. When the queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, she came to prove him with hard questions. And she came to Jerusalem with a very great train, with camels that bear spices and very much gold and precious stones. And when she was come to Solomon, she communed with him of all that was in her heart. And Solomon told her all her questions. There was not anything hid from the king which he told her not. And when the queen of Sheba had seen all Solomon's wisdom and the house that he had built, and the meat of his table and the sitting of his servants and the attendance of his ministers and their apparel and his cupbearers and his ascent by which he went up into the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in her. And she said to the king, "It was a true report that I heard in my own land of thy acts and of thy wisdom. Howbeit I believed not the words which I until I came, and mine eyes had seen it, and behold, the half was not told me. Thy wisdom and prosperity exceedeth the fame which I heard. Happy are thy men. Happy are these thy servants which stand continually before thee, and that hear thy wisdom. Blessed be the Lord thy God, which delighted in thee to set thee on the throne of Israel, because the Lord loved Israel forever. Therefore may he, the king, to do judgment and justice." We are all familiar with the story, but if not, just to sort of recap, the King Solomon, who his name was Jedidiah, the beloved of Jehovah, was appointed and established as the king of Israel. He would be the replacement for David, the man after God's own heart, to take up this responsibility, this great task of leading so great a company of people. And we know what Solomon started out realizing the greatness of this task. He bowed himself in humility and prayed, "God, who is able to lead so great a people? Grant me wisdom that I might lead this so great a people." And Solomon bowed and he recognized that this task was beyond his capacity. And so he sought the Lord and asked the Lord for wisdom. And the Lord was so pleased. He said, "You didn't ask for riches. You didn't ask for power. But because you asked for wisdom, I'm going to give you that wisdom, but I'm also going to give you those riches and the influence. And so Solomon's influence began to spread, not only within the precincts of Israel, but his influence began to spread all over the nations, all over the world. And so this, we come to chapter 10, and there was this one queen who heard of Solomon. She heard of what was doing, what's going on in this region. She heard of the wisdom of Solomon, and she came and she sought out Solomon, and she tested him with hard questions. She wanted to know what is the reasons for things. We learn from the scriptures that Solomon was studied. He appreciated nature. He studied all kinds of things. And he learned and really appreciated the value of what God did in creation. Solomon was the wisest man that lived. And so she would come, and it says so she would test him with hard questions. And she would have all of her questions answered. And then the Bible goes on to say she made some observations. She says in verse 4, when the queen of Sheba had seen all of Solomon's wisdom and the house he had built, and the meat of his table and the settings of his servants and the attendants of his ministers and their appearance and his cupbearers, and his ascent by which he went up into the house of the Lord, there was no spirit in her. She had the occasion to watch and to observe all that took place in Solomon's rule. She saw that his feasting was set just right. She noticed that his servants and his ministers carried themselves with a certain dignity. She noticed that his words. And the house which he built. But most of all, she noticed that he went up to the house of the Lord. She recognized that Solomon's greatness and power was not independent of the fact that he went up and ascended, made ascent to the house of the Lord. His direct greatness was a result of his ascent into the house of the Lord. When Solomon was in this right place, there was no one who could compare to him. Now we all know the story didn't end so well, but for this point, we want to just appreciate the fact that Solomon, and as he starts out, he leads, ascends up into the house of the Lord. Everything that surrounds him was just right. And for the Queen of Sheba, it was beyond her ability to take it all in. It says her spirit went from her. And then she confesses in verse 6, it was a true report that I heard in my own land of thy acts and of thy wisdom. Howbeit, I believed not the word until I came, and my eyes had seen. And behold, the half was not told me. Thy wisdom and prosperity exceeds the fame which I heard. She had heard. And she had heard that something is going on there in Israel. She had heard that there were the greatest and the wisest king in all of the land. She had heard. And in hearing these things, she sought to explore them. And I hope that's our desire too. Is that we have heard about the warfare. We have heard what we are engaged in. We have heard about the resources that are available to us. We heard that they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. But do we want to go further? Do we want to go further just like this queen who said, I want to see it for myself. And so she comes and she witnesses it for herself. And she says, she didn't believe the words and now she saw it. And she says, thy wisdom and prosperity exceeds the fame which I had heard. I had heard it, but now I see it, and they couldn't even tell it the way it exactly was. And here's the verse that I want us just to perhaps focus on. It says in her testimony, happy are thy men. Happy are thy men. And he says, happy are thy servants. You know, we just closed the reading on the thought of what it means to be a bondservant of Jesus Christ. Paul says, I am a bondservant of Jesus Christ. I would rather have no other position than to be a servant of Jesus Christ. And we're going to come back to that point. But she says, happy are thy men, happy are thy servants, which stand continually before thee, and that hear thy wisdom. I just want to make a couple of applications as we just review the story. If we want to see what this looks like, what does it look like as we who are servants, who have been conscripted, we who are to be engaged in this warfare, what is it that should look like? It's this testimony of the Queen of Sheba. Happy are thy men. We have been made children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. We are no longer the children of disobedience. We have been brought from darkness into light. We have been translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of the Son of His love. You ought to be a happy people. He says, we who we pass from death unto life. We have the privilege of being connected with and associated with the Son of God's love. And so one of the characteristics that should mark us, we should be happy people. Happy is that man who knows that his iniquities have been pardoned. We've known that we've been forgiven, and so we ought to be a happy people. He says, happy are thy servants. You know, we serve someone. There was a popular song back in the day, you got to serve somebody. And either we're going to serve ourselves, our own agendas, and we are going to give in to the enticements and temptations of the enemy. And the Bible is very interesting. It tells us that when we sin, we become enslaved to that sin. And it binds us and it ties us down. Another way it says it is that when we sow to the flesh, it reaps corruption. And then when it's finished, it brings forth death. And so this idea is, I'm going to serve someone. I'm going to either serve myself. I'm going to serve a selfish agenda. I am not going to surrender the thoughts or bring them captive to the obedience of Christ. And the consequences will follow. But on the flip side of that, we can submit as servants of the Lord. And we will know His beneficence. We will know His great grace. We will know His strength that He enables us. We will be like Paul and says, I am a bondservant of Jesus Christ. I live to serve Him. And what does she say? She says, happy are thy servants. Oh, we need an agenda. We need a program for what we can get behind. And one of the things a servant does, he has no agenda. His goal is to serve his master. When the Bible uses the word servant, it's not the way we think of servant who's hired and is paid. No, it's used in the term of someone who was a slave, someone who had no will of his own. His will was simply imposed by his master. And we have the most beneficent master. We have the great shepherd. We have the great Lord Jesus who presses us into his service, and we are his servants, but he serves in such a way that causes us to be happy, that we can be engaged in something that is greater than ourselves. You see, when we look at the fact that happy are thy men, that's what we've been made. We've been made the sons of God. We've been made the children of God. But then we have an opportunity to be the servants of our Lord, to do his bidding. You see, one of the things that affects me and affects you, I'm sure, is that we get up every day, and if we don't think about what we're going to be doing, if we don't think about where we're going, life becomes meaningless. And one of the things that is something that can bring us rejoicing and make us happy is to know that he has pressed us into his service, and we live to serve him. And as we live to serve him, the characteristic is Happy are those thy servants who serve the Lord. If you're not happy, if you're disillusioned because of things that have happened in your life, situations that have happened, I just suggest that you get reacquainted, reoriented, see the one who can't fail, see the one who leads directly, see the one who is the man of God's counsels, because later on in the chapter, it says she witnessed the fact that Solomon was there by God's appointment. And if we learn that God's agenda with regards to the Lord Jesus Christ, He wills that every man will honor the Son. Every knee is going to bow. Every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. I am on the opportunity to be on His side now.
Amen.
Happy are thy men. Happy are thy servants. Well, we are pressed into a service to serve our Lord. And then he goes on to say, where do these men and where do these servants stand? It says, they are happy are thy men, happy are thy servants, which stand continually before thee and hear thy wisdom. Beloved, that's where we need to be. We need to be there to hear and to drink in the words from our ascended head, who loves to give us what is needed. He said, he prayed in John 17, sanctify them through thy word is true. He is washing us with the water of the word. He wants to give and dispense from us wisdom. Wisdom for living, wisdom for life, wisdom for the plan, wisdom for the action. Happy are thy people because we have the opportunity to sit under the wisdom and the words of the great word himself, the Lord Jesus. Happy are thy servants. This is what this looks like. We walk away from here this weekend not burdened with the task of pulling down strongholds. No, we walk away with the enjoyment, with the happy condition that I can now be aligned with what God is doing. I can take sides with what God's agenda is. I want to be lifting up the things that exalt God and the things that honor the Son. I can walk away with a joy and a happiness because this is what we've been called to. This is what we've been pressed to. And she goes on to say, blessed be the Lord thy God, which delighted in thee and set thee on the throne of Israel. Because the Lord loved Israel forever, therefore made he their king to do judgment and justice. Beloved, we have to adjust our thinking to realize that we are only living in a brief window of time. And in that brief window of time, God wants us in this generation, in this brief window of time that we live, to exemplify what is his agenda for all eternity. His agenda for all eternity is that he is going to magnify his Son. He is going to bring all things in subjection unto him. He's appointed a day. God is going to judge this earth by that man. God's plan is that he is going to set up his kingdom and the Lord Jesus Christ is going to reign. God's purposes in Christ have been established from before the foundation of the world. And he says, you know what? That's what God is doing, and you and I have a privilege, an opportunity purely by his grace to be a part of that. Man, that ought to make me a happy man. That ought to make me a happy servant. I think this is what this looks like. Happy are thy men. Happy are thy servants who stand continually to hear before thee and hear thy wisdom. We have the blessed privilege of the word of God in our hands. But it's not words on a page. It's communications from a living God who wants to display and show us all the features of this one who he's established, who he has appointed a day that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. The word of God is God's communique to us that tells us of what God's plan and purpose is in Christ. And as we look at it and as we read the scriptures, it's not simply words on a page or lists of instructions to do and not do, even though that is in there. It's the idea, it's what God communicates to us to arouse our affections, what we had just as we closed in the meeting just before. To arouse our affections towards this one who he has set his counsels and purposes in. And that we have an opportunity in the brief window of time that we live to promote that. It is said concerning David, after he served his generation, after he, by the will of the Lord, served his generation, when he did and carried out all that God expected for him to do in the window of time that he lived, it says he fell asleep. And all God is expecting from you and I as his servants is to fulfill our calling for the window of time he allows us to be here. He's equipped us. He's given us everything that we need. 1 Peter tells us he has given us all things that pertain to life and to godliness. There is nothing that we lack. She looked at his table and saw there was nothing lacking. The table was fully spread. The servants were dressed in the finest clothes. There's nothing that we can lack in the resources that God has provided. So what does this look like? What does this look like when you and I leave this place? Will we be a happy man, a happy servant, because we've sat under the voice of our Lord Jesus Christ this weekend through his word and have been instructed in the wisdom with regards to what it is that we are engaged in this walk here? May the Lord encourage all of us to really see what this looks like. And not walk away burdened, but walk away with a limp in our step, with a kick in our step, because we realize we have been pressed into his service. We are his children. We are his servants. And we can be a happy people because we sit under his wisdom.
Amen. Amen.